Okay, I want to get back to that a little bit, but back to the urban and suburban thing. But since you're on the healthcare thing, I'd just ask you right now, what sort of a, ideally, what sort of a plan would you like to see? A so-called single-payer health plan, something that's like Canada has, for example? Or do you think that there's a role for the insurance companies?
Well, I mean, my position on this issue is pretty simple. We already have a single-payer health plan in the United States. Mm-hmm. It's called Medicare.
Indeed.
And it works very, very well.
Yes.
The problem is it's limited in who it covers. It only covers the elderly. Now, one of the interesting things about Medicare is that Medicare is, I hope I said Medicare and not Medicaid.
You did say Medicare.
Okay, good. Because Medicaid is a problem that needs fixing. Anyway, Medicare, the Medicare administration, it was in the Times Union. They were soliciting people to complain about Medicare because they felt they weren't receiving enough complaints, which kind of tells you that people are fairly satisfied with Medicare.
It reminds me of the newspaper in the Midwest that was asking people, begging them to send in good letters about the president because they just were getting tired of all the negative letters. Anyway, go on. I'm sorry.
So brought my attention to this whole issue of single-payer Medicare for All, which I support. H.R. 676 is the bill in Congress.
Is that expansion of Medicaid?
Medicare.
Medicare.
It's easy to get confused.
Expansion of Medicare, or is that a different program?
Well, it's an expansion of Medicare. It's also called Medicare for All, but it is different. There are changes that they would make in the program as well as expanding it. How I came to get involved in this issue is that the Albany County property tax, 90% of it goes to pay Medicaid. What I learned was that basically all the fancy program names that were being used, like Child Health Plus and all this sort of stuff, is basically more Medicaid in nature. Medicaid is an extremely expensive program to run because you have to look out and you have to employ all these people to make sure that only those qualified are in the program. Whereas with, let's take Social Security, which Social Security and Medicare function in the same way, fundamentally. You don't spend lots of money policing people about Social Security. It's something that all Americans get, and it would be the same thing with single-payer health insurance. So we'd save a tremendous amount of money by eliminating that all that money that's spent on Medicaid. So it's good for the taxpayer to begin with. It's also good for people, obviously, who don't have health insurance. They would be covered. It's good for middle-class families because right now they're in two ways. First of all, most employers are passing on a larger and larger share of the health insurance cost to employees, which is cutting into their purchasing power and reducing the value of whatever raises they get in the workplace.
Right.
So the other aspect that it's good for middle class people is, you know, when folks save up money and they have a loved one who has to go in the nursing home, unless they've engaged in Medicaid planning, which
most people don't,
particularly non-wealthy people, they lose their life savings to the nursing homes, which again...
And assets, too, like
right.
Their house and stuff.
Exactly, and this would not happen if we had the single-payer system because everybody would be paid for through the single-payer system. We wouldn't have these issues. Another problem is, what about elderly folks that need assisted living? Mm-hmm. Assisted living is not covered under any of our current programs. My grandmother was able to get home care because she was diagnosed as having a terminal condition, and through the hospice program, which is paid for by Medicare, she was able to get in-home assistance. But most people can't get that. So trying to put family members in an assisted living is a very difficult and expensive proposition, which would be solved if we went to single-payer. Another problem is business. I mean, my business, a law firm, we spend approximately $10,000 per employee for family coverage. And the...
That's per year?
Yeah. And the... you know, we are not able increasingly to absorb the cost of increases in that
right.
in that insurance charge.
Which seem to be yearly.
Yearly. You are absolutely correct. We go through it every year, and we try to find carriers that are less expensive and so on. But so we pass on the increased cost to our employees, which
sure.
hurts them, but also it hurts us because the extreme amount of money that we're paying that goes up. And then finally, if you're competing as an American business internationally, you're injured by the current healthcare payment system because the costs of your products are more expensive than your European competitors. Their healthcare is paid for entirely by the government, so they don't have to include in the price of their products the cost of healthcare for employees. Our companies do. So it hurts us in international competitiveness. So I feel this issue is a no-brainer. I think it helps everybody across the board.
Indeed.
Doctors, by the way.
Yes.
Okay. I wanted to continue with the doctors, not to leave them out. But one-third of the health insurance dollar in this country is being spent on health insurance bureaucracy.
Right.
Doctors are tired of employing lots and lots of people just to deal with healthcare bureaucracy, insurance bureaucracy. They're tired of having medical decisions made by doctors and health insurance companies. So I'm finding increasingly that doctors are in favor of single payer. And it surprised me because you talk to some doctors who are doing okay, you know, financially, and they ask me, what's your position on healthcare? And I say, well, I'm for single payer. And invariably you'll get, I think that's great, because they are really suffering under this this current system. And in sicko, of course, it demonstrates very well how the insurance companies are actually damaging the health of Americans.
Right, the Michael Moore would be a target.
Yeah.
Yes, I was just going to say before, I have a friend who repeatedly asked me, it seems he's brought this up in numerous conversations over the years, is why American big business doesn't get behind having a national health plan like or something along the lines of single payer. It would think it would be in their best interest. Why do you think they don't?
It's ideology.
Mm-hmm.
I think that in the United States in the past 20 years or so, that the free market ideology is so ingrained in people's thinking, particularly in business,
mm-hmm.
that whenever they see something that they think doesn't fit that ideology, they assume it cannot be effective. I mean, I find that ideology a lot of times is the enemy of good government, because people get stuck in a position and they can't get out of it.
Ideology is bad business here, is what
you're
describing.
Well, first of all, healthcare markets are not perfectly competitive. You're not going to be able to make them perfectly competitive, so they're an exception right off the bat. But I think it's that ideology, that the idea that the government should do something is something that a lot of businesses just cannot comprehend. Now, that's not as true, I think. People, in terms of this campaign and dealing with business people, I have found that they are getting more and more receptive to single payer because they're starting to understand that it helps everybody. And I don't think they enjoy dealing with the constant barrage of health insurance related matters that they deal with. That.
Well, it affects their bottom line.
It affects their bottom line adversely, but also it's a time consuming thing. Is that doctors want to practice medicine? Businessmen want to, you know, make and sell their products. They don't want to have so much time consumed with this issue of health insurance.
Certainly not.
Phil, on the negative side, we're talking about Walmart with Medicaid. You know, on the downs. You know.
Let's talk about this. This is another issue that I became familiar with in the county legislature. It's just the opposite of the. One of the reasons Walmart is a lot of successes. Sure. They don't have a good record of paying for benefits for their employees.
Right.
What they do is they tell their part-timers that who don't qualify for health insurance
sure.
to go get Medicaid from the county,
yes.
which hurts all the taxpayers. So what's happening is that the government...
So they're doing that here in Albany County.
Yeah, they did that in Albany County. And this came to our attention when when the county was offered a sort of a grant from Walmart for something, and the legislature voted to turn it down mm-hmm. because of this practice, which was it's fake. It's designed to promote the image of Walmart.
They wanted to give the legislature a grant.
Yeah, it was a $3,000 grant to assist some program. But the bottom line is they
were trying to build a big mega center in Colony.
That's in Colony. That's another issue altogether. That's a local government issue. But
no grants to the government, and we want to build here.
Well, what it's a PR thing. We give a grant to the government. Everybody sure. thinks Walmart's a good actor. Sure. Then, meanwhile, they are asking the government to subsidize their company by yes. providing health insurance through Medicaid yes. to their employees. So, you know, that's... And there are companies like... Costco that compete against Walmart that don't engage in these type of behaviors, which
sure.
Would shows that you can sell at reasonably low prices without
right.
engaging in these kind of anti-employee tactics and anti-taxpayer tactics and seeking to be subsidized by the government in your
right.
business. So I think This is something that we learned from being in county government. Another thing that we did in county government, this has been an issue that I've been focusing on for a while. For example, I sponsored a resolution in support of single payer in the county legislature, which passed. But also the county went, Albany County is now a self-insurer for health insurance.
And what does that mean?
What that means is that the premium that our employees pay goes to the county, and that premium is used solely for the purpose of paying benefits. It's not paying for any profits made by insurance companies or salaries of big executives at insurance companies or for the entire bureaucratic superstructure.
Oh, I see.
Of an insurance company.
That limits what the money can be
used for. It just goes into a pool that pays benefits. Just like it would in single payer.
And it leaves out all the parasites.
That's your word? Anyway, the county hires Empire as a claims administrator. We didn't employ a bunch of folks and start a business of handling health insurance claims because that's not really something the county was in a position to do. So we contract out only the necessary administrative part of it. And what we're trying to do is enable municipalities, other municipalities, to come into our program so they can save money just like we save money by self-insuring. Let's take the village of Menands, which is in my district. They have a very difficult time with health insurance because they're so small that it's very costly for them to buy insurance for their employees. They're always trying to cut what they have and their the cost of doing so. And they go out and they are always switching carriers, and they've had trouble with some of the carriers that they've been using not being good providers of benefits, and it's upsetting to the retirees and upsetting to the employees. So what we're trying to do is make it possible for other municipalities within the county to join in the county plan. It gets a little complicated because you've got many, many different bargaining units in the area, and you might have one bargaining unit in one town where the employees are paying 20% of the premium and the employer is paying 80%. You might have another where the employees are paying 10% of the premium and the employer is paying 90%. And to fold these all into the county plan is difficult because the county plan has certain percentages which employees pay and which the county pays of the premium. So it can be higher than what a particular municipality is doing with a particular bargaining unit. So it gets complicated to try and do that. But it would be overall beneficial to the municipalities and beneficial to the taxpayers, and also ultimately beneficial to the employees. Excuse me, because what we did in the county is we had three different health plans. And when we put the county plan together, the self-insured plan, we had MVP and we had CDPHP and we had regular Empire as well. But what we did was we took the best benefits from each and were able to provide those benefits at less cost with health insurance. But Albany County does have a fairly high, employees, I believe, pay 20% of the cost.
Okay.
So that's fairly high.
But
we had that anyway. No, plus we have co-pays too.
Oh, okay.
But on the whole, the plan that we adopted saved the taxpayers money, was better for the employees in terms of broader coverage.
I see.
And I think was a very good innovation.
20%. Okay. I think that resembles the Teamsters Union plan that we had when I was a kid. Which actually saved my life with operation when I was a kid. That's very interesting what you're talking about, because the city of Albany, of course, is going through a crisis with its employees right now. Basically, the unions are fighting with the city, and the city officials, all they ever talk about is cutting benefits, and all the unions want to do is defend what they have. Perhaps there's another way, a better plan through the county.
Well, certainly, if we went to HR 676, okay, the Medicare for All, this issue is solved.
Of course.
100% solved. Not a problem before. Doesn't become a divisive issue between labor and management. It's solved. And so I think that's the first priority. The county self-insurance plan is a good temporary solution, but I think HR 676 can be passed. I think Americans are getting increasingly anxious over their health insurance, and it's the program that we have now is too costly. I think Obama and Clinton and their health insurance plans are afraid of, I think Hillary, come from two different perspectives. I think they're both afraid of making a mistake on the issue.
Sure.
Which is typical of the way presidential campaigns are done.
Sure.
But the other thing is Hillary Clinton went through an effort to try and bring health insurance, national health insurance, or that's not really the right phrase with what they tried to do. It would be called universal coverage, a plan for universal coverage. To work, and then, obviously got the Clinton administration, that didn't work out. But the current plan that's been advanced, it's not going to be as effective as single payer. It's too complicated. It's designed to save HMOs, whereas HMOs, I think, are part of the problem, not part of the solution.
Right.
One of the things that we eliminated in the county plan is, HMOs send you to a doctor, a gatekeeper, who evaluates all your health insurance needs. That's the way most HMOs work. We eliminated that in the county plan. If I decide I need an orthopedist, I go to an orthopedist, which is much better. So, again, one of the great advantages of single payer is the freedom it gives doctors and patients. You choose your own doctor. There's no more insurance companies deciding which doctors you can see for what reason. And I think the single payer, they're relying on doctors to make appropriate medical decisions as to the type of care, which is, I think, what we want, not insurance companies deciding it.
That sounds like one of the anti-national insurance plan ads from the 90s turned around backwards to say, you don't want to lose the freedom to choose your doctor.
We've already lost the freedom.
But the truth is, it's double. It was all double speak.
Yeah, right? I think what's happened with this thing with a lot of folks, again, it's ideology. Uh-huh. And the people opposed to single payer have to some extent been successful in labeling it as socialized medicine, which, of course, that's nonsense. The British,
whatever that's supposed to mean.
Well,
anyway.
The British have a socialized medicine system where doctors are employed by the government, and the whole national health system is a government-run program, a government-run bureaucracy.
Right.
Single payer is not that.
Right.
So I think Americans, the British have a different history. Americans have a different history. I don't think people in America would accept a government-run health system. And so we have to have a system that's consistent with our ideals, and I think single-payer does that very well. It preserves the independence of physicians and increases the independence of patients.
Single-payer is not a government bureaucracy, but what is it then?
Well, single-payer is simply a government. The government takes care of all the insurance. That's all. It works very much like Social Security. Social Security pays out, takes in money and pays out benefits.
Okay.
And we've worked very well with Social Security since it was established by President Roosevelt.
Some would say Social Security is a government bureaucracy.
It's very small, relatively speaking, to a lot of the other bureaucracies that we have because its function is very limited to paying claims. It's not overseeing what people do in their lives. Mm-hmm. Social Security doesn't tell you how to live during retirement.
Right.
It just pays the bill. Mm-hmm. It's the same thing with single payer.
Okay. It just pays the bill.
Right.
Indeed. Okay. Right. I was told by State Senator Neil Breslin, this was in December, that, well, first he made the prediction that he thought that the State Senate would become Democratic,
mm-hmm.
A prediction which may very well come true. And but the second thing he said was after we get a Democratic majority in the Senate, in the State Senate, he said he'd like to see a single-payer health plan enacted for New York State. And the reason he really wanted to see that was because he thought something like that would help stimulate the federal government and serve as a model for other states. Do you see a growing movement in the next few years on both the state and federal level?
I've never spoken to Neil about that concept, but I would agree with it, and I think it's very helpful.
Okay. It was actually a conversation where he was, first time I saw him after he said he wasn't going to run for Congress. So.
Right.
He was talking about the reasons why he wasn't. Okay, well, I'd like to move on to, I have here your announcement speech. I like the part where it says, recognize dignitaries in attendance. Thank them for their friendship and support.
Well, you do that all the time, Rudy.
That's
when
part
you
of
do
it.
These things.
You have you brought up three points in this, and your first, second, and third point. Let me do the third one first. You talk about top-notch constituent service. Mr. McNulty basically had a open office for requests, things mm-hmm. like that. He was very approachable. That was his that was really his his strong suit there. For a lot of people, you say you want to continue to have top-notch constituent services, and what exactly does that mean? How would you improve?
Well, I think
that?
It's the same thing. I think that people who have never been legislators don't necessarily understand that. First of all, in the county legislature, we don't have any. Each legislator doesn't have staff.
Right.
We have the legislative majority has staff. And basically what the legislative majority staff does is assist members on legislative issues, writing legislation, and monitoring. A lot of times because most of what we do comes in relation to what the state government allows us to do. That's
right.
The way the system
right.
works here in New York State. So they do the job of monitoring what we can and cannot do in county government.
Okay.
But when there are people with individual problems with the county or even with the town, that I get a tremendous number of contacts from individuals at the local level. And I have to do all that myself. And I think anybody who knows me in my district knows that if whatever problem exists, I'm going to try and solve it. Now, it may not be solvable, but I'm going to try and solve it. Now, the one thing that that sets a tone, if I'm successful in this effort, I'm going to be the congressman, and I'm going to be dealing with a lot of policy issues that are important in Washington. However, my background is such, it's a grassroots background both politically and governmentally, that I am going to have people to make sure that these things get responded to. And one of the things that has been something I'm very familiar with doing myself, so I'm going to have people that know how to do that and are going to do it correctly. And if it's not done correctly, then I won't have people working for me who won't do it correctly. Sure. It's not a matter of paying lip service to people. Sure. It's a matter of having staff that takes direction to follow through. It's not a matter of sending a letter to your congressman and getting some general statement back in response. It's a matter of making sure that people's issues are attended to, but with the caveat that we're not going to be able to solve everybody's problems. We are going to try, and that's what I've done as a county legislator. And sure. You know, we do a lot of very local issues, whether it's road issues or bus shelters was one in my district that I worked on. We had an abandoned building that was a problem in Minnans. I worked on that. I got the county to offer it to the village, and ultimately the village didn't take it, but they did eventually. The village got a really good solution to the problem. They got torn down and they built houses in there. But we do these things all the time. I have some now that are on the agenda, and that stuff would continue. The issues will be different, and hopefully the power of a congressman to help is greater than that of a county legislator. But
hopefully, yes.
But the
or certainly on a larger level,
right?
Or, more macro.
Correct.
Level,
yes. So that's a very important part of what I've been doing in my three terms in the county, and that would continue in Congress.
Sure. But again, the district is larger and more diverse, so you would need a lot more help.
Well, the congressman has district offices throughout the district. We
sure.
obviously
that's,
would
that's
continue
right.
that. You want to have
that's
people right. that are located in areas where they can be responsive sure. to those particular communities. You don't want everybody in Albany, because that's not the whole district.
It's, because I'm thinking, of course, you have to be responsive to, say, the south end of Albany and also Sharon Springs, But, thinking these two opposite ends of the district, the south end and Sharon Springs share a really essential problem, decaying buildings that need to be renovated before somebody comes along and bulldozes them.
I think if you look at the endorsements that I have mm-hmm. from people at the local level.
Okay.
I think what that's indicative of, the folks that have worked with me know that if they have a problem in their district, whether
okay.
they're a town board member, a county legislator, or a town supervisor, or a small city mayor, or a city councilman, I'm going to try and get something done
okay.
to help them. And that's why I get all those endorsements.
And you, okay. And you plan to continue that.
There's close to 40 now.
Is it?
Yeah, on the website.
Okay.
See,
I think the last number I saw was 30-something, but okay.
I think as a grassroots political person, these people are close to the grassroots. They're close to the people that they represent. They are the ones who do the door-to-door.
Sure.
And I think there's a sense that sometimes I think the sense is that I am a person who's very responsive
right.
to people at the grassroots level. That I'm less interested about my relationship with some famous politician than I am in doing the job for my constituents.
Ah, I see.
It's not about celebrity. It's about trying to represent your constituents to the best of your ability.